Listen up, Marks. You're now tuned in to Stone Cold Shots, the professional wrestling podcast, where the shots are cold and the takes are hot. Every episode, every other week here, we review, we recap a different wrestling pay-per-view, or pape if you're nasty, from different promotion, from a different time, from, you know, whatever we want to do. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves to the Stone Cold Shots universe, tell them your name, and tell them if, what is a household or a common yard implement or household object that you would use in a wrestling match or would like to see a gimmick wrestling match built around? So like a poolside rumble kind of thing.
Well,
I have an idea.
Okay. Yeah, please, Lauren, go first this time, please.
I feel bad that you always have to go first. I have to take these moments when something actually occurs to me quickly.
Please.
So, my name's Lauren. I'm a regular darling. And if I were to use, like, a backyard implement, like, something that was totally missing from this tape that we're about to discuss was a barbecue.
Oh.
You gotta have a barbecue up in there, and I don't know if that's, like, you gotta wrestle while also watching your burgers and making sure those don't get burnt, or something similar. You gotta have that barbecue up in there. Maybe you got to fill some propane tanks. I don't know.
Lauren, that's a really good one. And it's so diverse, too, you know? You can have spots with the barbecue. Like, you can get some, like, dry ice in the barbecue. You can do a couple spots with that where it looks like they're steaming up.
You can pretend to burn someone. Oh, yeah.
So good.
I'm going to jump in.
Oh.
Being nobody's darling, your heel host, Campbell Falconer, because I also had a barbecue thing. Mine is a little bit more fleshed out because, as usual, I come up with the questions and I have the time. But I was thinking like an inferno match where the entire backyard is ringed by barbecues and you have to wrestle in all of the barbecues. And I was thinking that that could be...
What do you mean, in the barbecues?
Amongst the barbecues? There would be a barrier of barbecues with various meats grilling on them that you would wrestle in the middle of. I was thinking this could be like a signature match for Jimmy Buffet.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to, like, give me the book.
Gimme!
Give me the book.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Give him the book. Get both of you guys the books. That's like two really good fucking barbecue themes that you guys got going on here. And of course, I'm the internet darling, Josh Felix Pryor. So my idea is similar. What I thought of, it was, a 30 tiki torch match, kind of like a Royal Rumble, where you had to put out your opponent's tiki torches to eliminate them from this backyard
That's
rumble.
That's great. I really like the idea of putting out other people's torches.
Are we far enough removed from Charlottesville that tiki torches are okay again? Or have
Holy
tiki torches
shit.
Become uncancelled?
Survivor, Campbell. Why we gotta bring this down? Why we gotta bring this down in the mud, man?
Why are tiki torches bad?
Because those racists marched to the place with the tiki torches.
Oh, wow. I don't know about that.
That was like 2 years ago.
Everybody was having fun. Everybody was having fun on the podcast. We're all laughing and joking around. All
right. I feel like I want to do like a previously on kind of thing, but I'm too lazy to go back and do clips. So if I could just have you guys say some things and then I'm going to edit it so that it sounds like I got clips. So if I'm going to say previously on Stone Cold Shots. Josh, I can't believe you made us watch this.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys didn't find something that you didn't like in Talk and Shop Mania.
I hated this. They're just little boys, they're little teenagers. First time they get to swear, talking about their dicks.
You know what? I think at the end of the day, Josh was right. This was pretty good.
I guess Josh was right. I still hated it.
I think we can all agree Josh was right.
So, this has been like a real summer for, I feel like, the goofy cinematic backyard wrestling oeuvre, we saw the rise and fall of Superhuman. We had WWE doing all of their goofy shit. And if you listen to our last episode, Josh had us watch Talkin' Chop-a-Mania.
Yeah.
Which Lauren and I were not huge fans of, and the thing that I kept sort of comparing it to in my mind was right here in our little town of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, we have a promotion called Backyard Pro, which is a bunch of guys that you might recognize, some of them from, like, Impact, or, like, if you're local, like, Alpha One Wrestling or Superkicked. Crossbody professional wrestling, and these guys are all doing like a bunch of like kind of goofy backyard, very similar to the Talkin' Chop Mania. So Josh had us watch Talkin' Chop Mania. We had Josh watch the very recent Last Backyard on the Left by Backyard Professional Wrestling. So yeah, like Josh, had you hadn't watched the first Backyard Pro, the Back to the Yard that happened a couple of months ago. Season one, yeah.
No.
Like, did you watch that?
I hadn't. And I'm familiar with a lot of shitty backyard wrestling, like $5 wrestling, which a lot of the stars of Talk and Chop-a-Mania were coming from. And, you know, like, I was watching this, and I thought, for the first time in our podcast, I think maybe it was a generational gap thing. Maybe because I'm 30 years old and you guys just entered your 20s. I think maybe because a lot of the stuff was geared towards like the older wrestling fan. This is maybe geared towards, you know, the younger wrestling fan. And I'm not to say I didn't enjoy it, but I just said to myself, I was watching and I was like, okay, I can see maybe the gap here, because I got a lot of parallels watching these two things. A lot of parallels.
So this is fucking astounding to me.
Because this is having watched like the season one of Backyard Pro is like, that is what I wanted Talkin' Chop to be.
Yeah.
And so like going back and watching this was just like kind of a reaffirmation of like, yeah, this promotion is doing like everything that I wanted Talkin' Chop Mania to do.
Yeah, that's why I'm so surprised Josh isn't as gung-ho about it.
Oh no, no. Don't get me wrong. I really liked it. I really liked it. But as I was watching it, I was like kind of making those mental comparisons to like, okay, I can see why somebody maybe wouldn't like Talkin' Chop Mania and maybe would like this more.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so okay. I was trying.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that as we go through.
Yeah.
So yeah, and this is we're about to jump right in.
Oh.
But like, I obviously this is maybe a little bit more niche. This is maybe a little bit more of an obscure one. So for our listeners out there,
not like, based in the GTA.
Our two listeners that are not based in the GTA. All of this is on YouTube for free.
Yeah.
Support our local independent wrestling scene.
Yeah, all you gotta look up is Backyard Pro, Last Backyard on the Left.
Go and check it out, because I really liked this. I thought this was really fun.
It was
lovely. I would highly recommend like going and watching this before you listen to us talk about it. Although I'm sure that the Backyard Pro has a much wider audience than
we do. Yes.
The Backyard Pro universe is slightly larger than the Stone Cold Shots universe.
I was amazed. So I was watching the last episode today, so it's in part two is in three parts, and the last part of it only like had under 1,000 views on it.
That is fucking bullshit.
That's a travesty.
Did it come out
Thursday?
Yeah, so it hasn't been out that long, but
even the other ones were like around
views up there.
Yeah, like the other ones were like, you know, in the 1,000 to 2,000 kind of range. So if you're out there, stop the podcast right now and go watch it on YouTube.
Some good Canadian content.
So we get a good little music video recap of Back to the Yard, of all of the great matches that happened in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, I'm sure you understood all of the characters and all of the feuds.
Nope.
Based on those flashes.
A very Lucha Underground-esque retelling.
Yeah, where it's just like, here are some moves and some people. That's it. There's no actual dialogue.
Because you're watching it, and it's a sick promo package. Like, it's a sick promo package to kick it off. And I remember thinking, I was like, I don't have no idea what's going on right now, but I think I'm going to really like this. You know? I think I'm going to like it.
We cut to Mark Wheeler quitting. He says, like, stop following me around. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore. Because I liked his match in the first one was that he was, like, a professional wrestler, and he was there to show the, like, backyard wrestlers what was what. And he lost his match to a guy that named himself after him. So it's like Mark Wheeler and Jay Wheeler.
Oh, okay.
And that I forgot all about that.
And then on Instagram and YouTube, in between the seasons, they've had all these little vignettes of cameramen following Mark Wheeler around and him being like, fuck you, stop following me, I quit. So this was very fun. My favorite spot in that match was when Mark Wheeler super kicks the backyard wrestler and he no-sells it. Because he's a backyard wrestler and he's impervious to super kicks.
Right. All right. So Mark Wheeler is making that, like, non-promo of he wants to leave, stop following me.
Mm-hmm.
And who shows up jumping out of his car?
Oh,
Campbell's favorite wrestler.
It's mine, too. Mine, too. The story behind this wrestler is so fucking funny to me, and it's only funny to people in, like, the GTA again.
Yeah. There's so much in this that is, like, very specific to our geography.
Explain it so I get the exact lineage. So he's the heir to the Fortino grocery chain whatever franchise, right?
Yeah
that's
my grandfather's been selling groceries for four generations. I'm Jimmy Fortino.
Yeah. and he wears Adidas track pants and an Adidas shirt and jacket rather.
Yeah, in the first season he had a match that was his car against Geoff Hardy's three belts. and Geoff Hardy won the car, but Jimmy Fortino won the three belts, which is why he has. Anyway,
okay.
Very, very good, very niche Southern Ontario humor here. He's from Woodbridge. He kidnaps Mark Wheeler.
He chloroforms him.
Yeah.
And he takes him and kidnaps him and throws him in his car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it
is so beautifully Italian, too, which we'll get into later, but definitely got me a few times.
We get our Union Underground Across the Nation intro. This was, Josh, I'm sure this was right up your alley.
The best, for my money, the best Raw theme of all time. So they do, like, the full, like, old school Across the Nation, if you know it, you know it. But with, like, the backyard pro wrestlers cut into it. Very good. Very high quality.
That went over my head.
There was a thing where it was, like, I knew that it was like a reference to Raw, but I didn't actually get the reference. I was just like, I can tell that this, you know, like when you're watching like The Simpsons as a kid and they make like a mid-90s cultural reference and you're like, I don't understand that, but it has the cadence of a joke, so I'm going to laugh.
Yeah, that was after like the Raw War Zone with like Stone Cold and like the ring exploding that was the theme for like the Attitude Era for most of Raw in the 90s, like the late 90s. That Across the Nation theme was iconic. It's iconic.
We have our Gene Okerlund's, the Rusty Lance and Paul Roma Jr. sort of breaking down the card.
Paul Roma Jr. is very good. It's RJ City.
It is RJ City.
Yeah, it's RJ City, and he looks like Paul Roma. So like. Paul Roma Jr. is a very good callback. Rusty Lance is also very good.
Again, two jokes that I didn't get.
I don't get them at all.
Yeah, Paul Roma was like
silly names.
Paul Roma was like an 80s wrestler. Like, at the same time as like Hercules Hernandez and like all these people. So, again, if you know it, you know it. I'm not going to explain who Paul Roma was.
I really like that they say it, like, joining me, as always, for the first time. That was really funny.
The Rusty Lance guy, like, his like, delayed finger point that he does at the end of every segment is really good.
Yeah.
And I love that they introduce there's going to be a Tungsten Man match because...
Oh, my God.
Tungsten is stronger than iron.
So fucking good.
It is a great joke. We kick it off, we have the Moondog. Who's working at a mini putt in Windsor. down in, I did look up where this mini putt was. We could go. We could
Why
go there.
Why did you look this up?
And we get a little video package of him working at the mini putt. Then we get a fucking great promo from the Cyclops cyclist Adam Safe.
Yeah, he's wearing like a really shitty eye patch, and he's a really shitty skip the dishes delivery dude, which is.
But that, how good was that promo though?
That was excellent. Yeah. He cut like a legit good promo.
Really good.
Yeah.
About how he lost his eye in a cycling incident.
And he says, I still got one good eye. And if you got one good eye, you got one good dog left in this fight. Yeah. I was like, this is incredible. This is better than like 90% of the promos on Raw.
Yeah. And then like it the promo ends and transitions into, I guess, which is the start of the match, where he's like, he's a skip the dishes delivery driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so he cycles up and he knocks on a door, and this woman answers the door and it's like, hey, this is the wrong order. And then fucking Josh Alexander from TNA, one half of the North.
From the North.
Okay.
Yeah. Answers, and he's like, yeah, come in, like, you know, show you the basement or whatever. I forget exactly how this
started. The dungeon. Yeah. He's like, oh, you're a wrestler. Well, come on down. I'll show you the dungeon. And he starts doing like a Stu Hart impression.
That's right.
He's like, I'll show you some things.
I'll stretch you out, okay? I'm just gonna.
He starts stretching him out.
And the whole setup for this is that the dancing weapon, Josh Alexander's wife, is like, now I'm gonna have to cook dinner myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all right, you have until I'm finished cooking dinner to like do this fucking match, right? And
she whips up a quick dinner.
A very quick dinner.
But yeah, they have like a silly match. It's kind of cute, like in the creepy basement.
Mm-hmm.
They trade some really shitty chops because Jason Alexander?
Josh Alexander. Jason Alexander is George from Seinfeld.
Oh yeah. Josh Alexander.
That should be his new gimmick, the dancing weapon, Jason Alexander.
Josh Alexander, very early on, like when she says, dinner's in five, he goes and he smacks his head off of a pipe and he forgets how to wrestle. So that explains why the rest of this match is shitty.
Yeah.
Well, and the skip the dishes driver that he hits is called the STD driver, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah. I felt like the commentary on this was really good. He has the STD joke. He says, like, folks at home, if anyone ever offers to bring you down into their dungeon or just refers to their basement as a dungeon in general, get the fuck away from them.
Yeah. Commentary was solid on this match.
Yeah. He also, at one point, he's talking about the Cyclops cyclist Adam Safe, who once again has an eye patch, and the commentary says, oh, Adam Safe's getting that look in his eye.
Was the commentator trying to like emulate Jim Ross? I was trying to figure this out like all three nights.
I think so. I think that's the bit.
Yeah.
It was good. Like I thought the commentator really did good. A pretty good job there. The match was like I felt like they did a good job with like the space that they had, like using that basement with like three tiny mats on the ground to do bumps on, but like.
They used a bunch of boxes.
Yeah, I liked the, he was going for the Fisher-Price concerto.
That was great. They used a lot of great children's props.
Yeah.
Children's furniture.
And then Adam Safe is about to win the match when the wife pops her head in. She's like, okay, dinner's ready. And Josh Alexander kicks out to be like, all right, I'm coming.
He does like a kip-up.
Yeah.
Well, no, he says,
fuck Austin Aries. Yeah.
Which was such a good fucking, like, reference.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Austin Aries, no-sold John Morrison's finisher at the end of a TNA pay-per-view, and just, like, got up and walked out of the arena.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what he does. He gets up and walks out, and then the Cyclops cyclist is like, I won! And then he gets attacked by that shitty demon chick who was hiding in one of the children's tents the whole time.
Yeah, I failed to get her, like, character name every time, but that's her real wrestling name is Jody Threat.
Okay. Yeah, in this whole, like, Backyard Pro thing, all of the wrestlers in this are using, like, pseudonyms. Like, they aren't using their general...
Yeah, so that's, like, usually in Impact, Josh Alexander is, I think, the walking weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this, he's the dancing weapon.
Yeah,
which,
and Jimmy Fortino is Stratosphere.
Stratosphere.
Yeah, like, everyone's got other names, but...
I was a little disappointed that Josh Alexander didn't dance, but I did like his, like, lace leggings over his undies that he was wearing, and they got, like, pulled down at one point.
Yeah.
Shades of Rory Fox. Josh, how many bald heads did this get?
Oh, this is a pretty enjoyable match. I don't know. I was confused on the ratings. Like, I was like, do I give this an actual, like, bald head rating? Or, like, there wasn't enough of the substance of the match to actually, because the match itself was shit, but it was, like, highly entertaining. So
you gave the fucking social distancing battle royale 3.5 bald heads. You can rate
this. Well, listen. I am just explaining my thought process. Okay? Gave this 3.25, and I was happy with this rating. I was between a 3 and a 3.25, but I think a 3.25 is more fair for this match because it really set the pace and the tone for the rest of the card.
That's true. There's a Moondog promo of him doing drugs and
attempting to steal persons
from rich people.
Yeah, he said I guess his gimmick is that he's homeless, or like that he's like a freeloader, and he only like wanders in rich neighborhoods because they have like expensive cars and like they go on vacation a lot, so he can crash in their house and they have all the best drugs. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, and then we have Geoff Hardy challenging Moondog to a match at the mini putt,
which is a great setting.
Did he show up in Jimmy Fortino's car?
Yes, he did. So yeah, Geoff Hardy rolls up in Jimmy Fortino's car, listening to Europe, and he gets out at the mini putt and challenges Moondog to a match, and Moondog says, "Hey, Moondog's going on break!" And they go outside and enlist the owner of the mini putt to be the referee.
This is really good.
And he's a really great referee where he just, like, jots down, like, he keeps score on a little notepad.
Like, he's counting strokes, right?
Yeah.
He's not, oh, God, this was so fucking funny. And they start at the first hole, and they fight their way through the entire course.
Yeah. You can tell they're being very careful about, like, not totally fucking up the shrubbery and, like, the giant giraffe or, like, any of the shit in the mini-putt.
Yeah, yeah. He subtracted a stroke away from him because he hit, like, the giraffe. And then, like, he did a move into the bush. And then he subtracted, like, 5 more. So, like, I didn't understand how the match was actually going to be ended. Like, is it a 3 count? Because When somebody pins somebody, it was like, 1, and then he'd write it down on the card, and it would be like, 2, write it down on the card, 3. So it was all based on strokes, which I thought was pretty good.
It was great. I also like that commentary at the start said, these guys are really teeing
on
each other.
You beat me to it. You cut me off to say it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I also, like, there were some fun spots in this that were golf related, like we talked about the course with the, like, keeping track of strokes, but there was also, like, the fucking hip toss reversal chain across, like, the entire 7th hole.
Yeah.
Where they just kept jumping around each other to the point where they were just do-si-doing. That cracked me up. That was great.
Yeah, there was also a great spot where I think it's Geoff Hardy gets, like, sort of set up with his leg spread near a hole, and Moondog, like, puts a fucking golf ball into his dick, except he totally misses, but they
sell it.
They sell it like he did it at his dick. I mean, that's cute.
Yeah, there's another spot where Moondog does a stunner to Geoff Hardy, which, again, hilarious name. And then because Geoff Hardy's knocked out, he lands on Moondog's leg, and then Moondog gets trapped under his limp body. That's like crawl out.
We should say that Geoff Hardy is dressed exactly like Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Like, he's wearing a Hardy Boys shirt, and he's got the necklace, and he's, like, doing the fucking dance.
Yeah.
If he tries to hit the twist of fate, like, 10 times in the match, and he can never hit it.
It was... I will say that the gimmick was way funnier. The dude playing Geoff Hardy in the first Backyard Pro committed to the bit more, and he shaved his beard all fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, he had the like, tribal-patterned beard in the first one that I wish he had done again, but I also totally understand not wanting to, like, do that for the sake of a dumb YouTube wrestling show.
So the match ends with Rob Banks, a dude who is dressed up as a criminal. he runs in and interferes. When the ref gets upset, Banks punches him in the dick.
Yep.
And then he takes his t-shirt, the ref shirt, and he puts it on and he calls the match in Moondog's favor.
Yeah. Shades of Sasha and Bailey.
Yeah.
Doing that, and then some Karen comes out and yells at them to get off the golf course so their kids can play.
Yeah. How did you feel about this one, Josh?
I thought Rob Banks was fucking hilarious. That's such a good one.
He's so funny.
I gave this 3 1/3 bald heads. That was a great match. I don't know. Up into this point, I was thoroughly entertained in the card. I don't know. I really like this. I don't think they've had a miss. I feel as the card's going, maybe, like, I don't know if it's because I watched all three nights in a row, but then I started getting a little wary of the formula, you know? There's spots in this. Okay. But I will say, the next match, definitely, I didn't have any ill feelings about. Because let's get into it.
So we have... Do you want to intro it? You look real excited.
No, I mean, I'm just excited because he's one of my favorite wrestlers. But
we've got Psychotic Michael.
Whose real name is Psycho Mike. Yep. And in the last season of Backyard Pro, he was having an extremely hard time remembering that he's going by Psychotic Michael now. And he kept going like, and not me, Psycho Mike, Psychotic Michael will defeat The Rock. So it's him versus The Rock.
Which is a literal rock.
It's a literal stone.
This fucking promo package. That
has a teeny tiny belt.
The promo package for this fucking match is so good. It's like this rocky montage where, like, Psycho Mike keeps on... He's like, and me, Psychotic Michael, like, keeps correcting himself, and they're playing like acoustic guitar, semi-charm kind of life.
It's acoustic Third Eye Blind semi-charm life.
And he's just like working out in his basement,
and he keeps tearing his ACLs.
Yeah, he has this recurring ACL injury
in both legs,
and also he lost his wife.
Yeah, for unrelated reasons.
She didn't leave because of the ACLs, but I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Like, and they're showing the stock footage of, like, doctors looking at, like, an MRI, and then, like, like, leg surgery, which it's really funny. Like, the whole night, this is a highlight of this night of Backyard Pro.
Psycho Mike in general has been, like, a highlight of anything that I think I've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
Like, his segment at the Superkick shows used to be, like, my favorite fucking thing.
Absolutely.
In all of them. And then, like, I still want to go and see if I can look up, because he did, like, a tour with DDT for a little bit, which is, like, of course this dude would fit fucking, like, right in with DDT, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of want to go back and watch. I saw on Instagram that his main bit was... always, he would put guys in a wrist lock and just stare at the hard cam, and then, like, spin them around and just be staring at the hard cam the whole time to prove that he was ready for WWE.
Oh my god.
I love Psycho Mike so much. But so this is a Tungsten Man match, which is an Iron Man match that lasts for a fortnight.
Which is two weeks,
so they start the timer at 336 hours. And a scarecrow made with Ultimo Dragon's mask announces the match.
Yeah.
It's very good.
He's a recurring character. It's very good. Psychotic Michael comes out of the house for his, like, big entrance to the match, but The Rock is there on the fucking patio, and he trips and falls, and he's like, oh, fuck, and that's how, like, the match begins. It's sick.
The Rock starts working the ACL, and Psycho Mike He's like, I can't go on. And the ref's like, you have to. And every time that Psychotic Michael says that he can't go on, he loses a point to The Rock. So The Rock's like immediately up 3-0.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So yeah, he goes up 2-0 after like Mike's like, no, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. And yeah. then The Rock, which is a literal rock, puts the regal stretch Psycho Mike. And then he goes,
I think they call it the limbless regal stretch.
That's
because
right.
Again, it's just a rock.
Yeah. Psycho Mike is doing such a good job with this rock and like trying to sell that it's doing moves on him and throwing it around on himself. He's so good.
It's so good. Like, and especially with like an inanimate object. So he goes, he does a figure four leg lock. Like, The Rock puts a figure four leg lock on Psycho Mike. And then Mike switches it around to reverse the pressure.
It's amazing.
I can't.
It's hard to, like, go through the, well, just, like, name spots, I feel like.
My favorite joke in this whole thing was when he pulls out the cardboard tube,
mm-hmm.
and the ref says, no, that's a foreign object, and he says, this is local.
Yeah.
Like, it's domestic cardboard, and therefore it's not a foreign object.
Yeah. And the ref's like, okay.
Yeah. And then we get, like, the 15 chair shot DQs.
That was amazing.
So, a steel chair is a foreign object. So, like, he didn't get disqualifications for the cardboard that he used, but a chair is a foreign object. So Psycho Mike hits The Rock 15 times.
Like, repeatedly.
And every time he hits The Rock, he loses a fall. So it's now, like, 18-1.
Yeah.
And he goes, the best is he got fucking like 15 chair shots, and then he goes for the pin, and The Rock kicks out it.
Yeah. There was another great spot where Psycho Mike gets like a spade out from his garden, and he buries The Rock with dirt, and that is a pin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a point.
Yeah. And then I think the other, like, oh no, there's so many good bits in this. So he like, The Rock's title is like it's like a watch strap WWE title or whatever, right?
It's teeny tiny.
And Psycho Mike brings out a hose and waters the title, and it grows into a full size title that he uses to hit The Rock.
And he says, "Make this monster grow."
Yeah.
So good.
And then he tries using, he has these scissors that he's had for like the whole match that he used to like cut the wraps off of his leg, and then he uses it to cut a green onion out of his garden to try and strangle The Rock with, which when he cuts the green onion, he starts crying.
Yeah.
And then they fucking do a rock, paper, scissors bit.
It's so good. It's so good. The Rock destroys his scissors, and then he goes and grabs a piece of paper and, like, presses it over The Rock, and that is another pin, because paper defeats Rock,
as
we know.
And through this, like, Mike is, like, talking, and it's so funny. Like, when he was hitting The Rock with the steel chair, he's like, it was worth it. It was worth it. And then he does an elbow drop, and he's like, Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
And then when he's choking The Rock with the green onion, I think one of the commentators said, he's stretching the butthole out of The Rock with a green onion. Which I thought was pretty good. There's a lot of really good shit in this match. I really enjoyed it.
So we can we rate this match yet? Because,
well, at
it's
the
not
end of the
over.
Match, at the end of the match.
So they,
yeah, so yeah. The match does not end, though.
They
the
run
night
out of time.
Ends because it's a 2-week match. So they say it'll continue on social media.
Yeah, which like. I think, like, for the most part, like, I really, really enjoyed, like, every sort of, like, bit and all of the characters. This was really fun to watch everything, but I think of, like, there are a couple of sort of standout characters and there are a couple of standout bits on this card that I think are really just absolute head and shoulders above the rest of them. And I think that, like, for my money, the only wrestler in the world right now that is funnier than Psycho Mike is Yano Toru.
Mm.
And that, like, it this is a dude that it kind of blows my mind that, like, you know, like, somewhere like an AEW that's doing, like, the Orange Cassidy best friend stuff is, like, I could see a Psycho Mike in there, you know? Or, like, even just as like a writer or producer or something, like it's such a good, I think, sort of like eye for both like comedy in general and like background, like deep cut mm-hmm. what are the tropes of wrestling that I can make a joke about?
Totally.
Is a thing that I think like has legs, and I could see him, he's doing comedy wrestling way better than like the majority of like WWE comedy wrestling or AEW comedy wrestling, the sort of like mainstream like goofy bits that we see.
Yeah, I agree.
Psycho like, Mike specifically.
It's a shame, and like, because he does like the in-ring talking, which is like the Kevin Owens, Jericho kind of in-ring talking, where it adds so much to the match. And when the mic picks it up, it just like, it elevates it. Like, my worry with AEW, like, honestly, recently, is, like, that it goes, like, too silly, right? Like,
totally, yeah.
I just don't know. It's, like, I think Psycho Mike would be perfect in AEW right now, but it's, like, how much of your show do you want, like, silly bits, right? Like, I think he'd be great on Being the Elite and, like, all that stuff, but I kind of worry about
100%.
Yeah.
Like that AEW, I agree. I worry that it's getting like too silly, but I'm saying that if the direction that they're trying to go in is jokey, you could pick up worse guys.
Oh yeah. Mike would be wonderful. Like, he's so delightful. I really, especially after watching like these three nights, it's through the roof.
So night two kicks off. We get a little like milk carton PSA about Mark Wheeler being missing.
Yeah.
My favorite part about that is that it's describing as like height 6 feet, weight 220 pounds, build pretty fucking yoked, bud.
I didn't see that.
We get a little promo from Scooter McGavin.
Yeah, he's just wearing an Avril Lavigne t-shirt and talking about how much he loves Tony Hawk.
Yeah, like his inspirations are Bam Margera and Tony Hawk, but his parents didn't buy him a skateboard, so they bought him a scooter.
Yeah.
This is such a funny character. I wish that he had faced the Cyclops cyclist.
Right.
Like, I'm upset that his match wasn't a triple threat.
Mm.
But we'll get there. We have a grudge match. Geoff Hardy wants revenge against Rob Banks.
Now this is amazing.
Yeah, and Geoff Hardy says that the wrestling refs keep fucking him over. They keep fucking on him, if you will.
Yeah.
So he brings a soccer referee.
Yeah. So they approach Rob Banks' house, which is a shed in a backyard.
Yeah.
And they go up and they don't see, but Rob Banks is watches them go up to his door. And the whole thing with Rob Banks is that he has like he's like a mime.
Yeah.
Like he's a mime. And so he does this
mime!
Really extravagant, like, oh my God, they're here. And he like runs away. And then he tries to like go and sneak out while they're knocking on his door. He's got his like bag of money, except it's like trash. And he tries to mime creep away. And then Geoff Hardy sees him and he's like, hey. Then Geoff Hardy's like, we have a match. And the mime guy mimes like, okay.
Yeah.
And fucking takes out a huge knife.
Well, no. Before this happens.
What happens?
The ref's like, no, that's not Rob Banks. See, he's wearing a name tag. And it says, hello, my name is Bob Banks.
Yes.
And Geoff Hardy rips that name tag. He rips that name tag off. And underneath there's a name tag that says, hello, my name is Rob Banks.
Yeah. And then the ref is like, oh my God, it's him.
Yeah. So sorry, yeah, Rob Banks pulls out a fuck-off big knife.
Yeah, and he's, like, flipping it around like a fucking crazy person. And Geoff is like, hey, ref, you gonna let him have this fucking knife? And the ref's like, you can't have that knife, man. Like, if you have that knife, Geoff wins. And that's the thing that makes the Rob Banks, like, toss it to the ground.
Yeah.
And then the ref takes it away. And then the match begins.
Yeah. And this match is hilarious.
It's so good.
Yeah, this match is so good. So, like, almost right off the bat, like, Rob gets a yellow card from the soccer ref for going low on Geoff Hardy. The other thing I really noticed about this match, like, Rob Banks got some fucking moves. He was doing some real chain wrestling in this match. Like, he went...
Commentary says, like, oh, we got some real chain wrestling. Shades of Lance Storm, who would fucking hate this.
Yeah. He does like a Canadian maple leaf, right? And then he does, like, he transitions, like, the crippler crossface. And then he does the Zero Mero fucking arm break.
The Pentagon Junior arm break.
And like, I was really impressed by Rob Banks' actual wrestling in this match, which I haven't been impressed by anybody else's wrestling yet.
We got a failed poetry in motion. Yeah. where Geoff Hardy tries to use the ref to hit another Geoff Hardy signature move.
Mm.
And then I like this because the running joke is that the ref doesn't understand wrestling, so he has to be, like, taught how to do a three count.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the match, he calls halftime and makes them go and sit down.
Yeah. Which is great because it introduces chairs as an element that can be used.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of great, like, throwing onto chairs.
They have a little Geoff Hardy action figure that he presses the button on, and it says, like, man, I was so fucked up, I don't even remember that match.
Yeah, this is awesome. I think Rob Banks hits what the commentator called Wade Barrett's finishing move.
On GM Hardy. Oh my god! Is that the flip?
That is the what they call it, like the wasteland or whatever.
The wasteland.
Just like a big slam.
Okay, no, I know that the match ends with a flip.
Rob Banks wins for how many bald heads?
So Rob Banks wins a trophy. So they don't specify what it is, and he wins it for 3 1/3 bald heads. I thought this was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have a cutscene. We're back at the skate park where Scooter McGavin cuts off Barry Wire trying to do a skate trick. In the background, we see that the Tungsten Man match has 168 hours left, and the score is 98-72 for The Rock.
This is so good.
Sick.
To see Psycho Mike just, like, in a skate park, and, like, the ongoing theme is, like, you always see Psycho Mike in the background having this two-week-long match, I thought was, continuity-wise, chef's kiss.
It's perfect. We have a little cutscene with Space Monkey.
Yeah, so Space Monkey is showing off his, like, strength and flexibility and everything. And he's like, I'm so fit, I'm so flexible, and yet I can't get bigger than this. Like, what do I have to do to get bigger? And this, maybe someone else can understand this, because it seemed to me like he ordered some trail mix. What did he get?
He, as Chavo Guerrero might say, he's on the gas.
Yeah, he's on the gas.
But it was like little crackers. What was it? Were they supposed to be pills?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
But then he changes it from Space Monkey to Juice Monkey.
Yeah, so he's got all these fake pillowy muscles on him.
Yeah, we have another one of these. Like, all of these vignettes in episode 2 were, like, some of my favorite stuff. And this one with Cornelius Ruthador.
Oh my god. So good.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He's serving Kevin Hart realness from Jumanji 2.
So good.
Yeah. He's this old-ass man, and he's got glasses, and he's wearing sweatpants that are up to his, like, fucking nipples. And a huge sweater, and he's just being all old, and he, like, loses his glasses and takes another pair out. Yeah. And
he can't find his heart medication, and he says, man, 2020 sucks.
He fucking squeezes out, like so much hand sanitizer on his hands.
And he's introduced to his tag team partner, Jimmy Buffet, which is a pun that I can appreciate as a certified parrot head.
Yeah.
Really, one of my favorites. Looking forward to their match coming up on the next episode. We have a couple of little, like, Battle Royale number draws with Hot Shit Jay Wheeler.
Yeah, so I guess Jay Wheeler's the champion, and he's distributing numbers for this battle royale through a bingo machine. Like a really cheap, like, Walmart bingo dispenser, and everybody's getting their numbers. And then somebody gets their numbers, and then this rich white kid buys, what was his name, Gringo XL? He buys Gringo XL's number off of him for the Battle Royal for a gold 24-karat Rolex that he pulls out of his back pocket, which is an ongoing theme throughout the night, which I really enjoyed.
This is the Jay Huntington the Sixth.
Yeah.
Which
I feel like is kind of a an MJF inspired character, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
But that dude's the White Russian in Superkicked, and he's great. He's a lot of fun.
He's also amazing at anything he does.
Yeah. And now we have an actual match. We have the finale of this skate park drama that's unfolding of Barry Wire, who's the Backyard Pro Hardcore Champion, against Scooter McGavin, which we haven't pointed out is a Happy Gilmore reference yet.
Yeah.
Is it?
And yeah, I didn't have a lot to say about this one.
Yeah, this was all right. I mean, there was a couple good spots. Like, it was in like kind of a ravine forested area, and they had to pull the ref up at the beginning of the match.
Out of the ravine, yeah.
Yeah, out of the ravine to start it. And the announcer's name was Gordon Soule, which I really appreciated because of the throwback to the old wrestling commentator, Gordon Soley, which is a legend. Uh-huh. So I thought that was pretty cute. Shout out to Gordon Soley.
I thought the scooter skateboard sword fight was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that bit. I liked all the headbutts with the helmet on was fun.
That was funny.
Once again, we get some interference from Demon Jody Threat.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is kind of a thing where I feel like, one, the dude who is Barry Wire, that guy's like a ref. Like, he's a ref for Crossbody. He's a ref for Superkicked.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would assume, obviously, like, to be a ref to take bumps, you got to have, like, some kind of wrestling training. But, like, I think the Jody Threat interference was to maybe, like, kind of protect...
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of why she irritates me so much, is because she is an evil character. Like, she always comes in, and she's usually associated with him, and she comes in and, like, wins the match for him. Like, he doesn't actually do anything, but it irritates me that she doesn't do anything either. She just kind of drops by, devastates, like, does an amazing move, and then just, like, kind of leaves and does some scary noises, and it's like...
Because she's, from everything that I've heard in, like, I can't remember which promotion it is in, like, Southern Ontario that she wrestles for, but she's supposed to be great. Like, really, really good.
And I feel like I can tell that she is good by what she does. Yeah. Like, by her wrestling. It's just, like, this character irritates me, or, like, how they use her irritates me. I mean, anyone making that fucking gargly, gaspy demon noise is, like, it's supposed to be irritating and weird, but...
I think it's also a thing where, like, with a lot of these things is, like, these characters are of, like, Jimmy Fortino or of, like Moondog or Detective Cookie Dough or Jay Huntington the Sixth. Like, there are some, like, very sort of, like, over-the-top, cartoony, goofy, like, character concepts in this thing. And the Barry Wire and Demon Lady both kind of is, like, you definitely already had that jacket in your wardrobe. Like, this is a thing... And on the other side of that, I get it as like a punk guy, as like a guy who's into heavy metal. Like, if I was to come up with a wrestling character on the spot, I would 100% wear a fucking studded luchador mask and a studded jacket. And, like,
I
on the one hand, I think that it is, I don't necessarily want to call it, like, lazy, but, like, it's definitely not as maybe imaginative or as, like, funny or as high concept as a lot of the other character designs. But it is also 1,000%. I already know that my finishing move would be the Scandinavian Jawbreaker, which is my favorite anti-C-Mex record. Like, it's fucking, like, I would do the same thing, and maybe that's why it's kind of disappointing, because I watch it and I'm like, oh, my idea isn't original. But, like, this, yeah, I don't know. This one, like, I thought the Scooter McGavin thing was funny. I thought the skater versus the scooter kid was funny, because that's, like, a thing that I see, like... all of the inexplicable grown adult friends I have who still skateboard even though they're over the age of 19, like, always post about how much they hate scooter kids, which, again, is like, you're an adult, you have a job, why do you hate children on scooters? But, like, this is a real beef, and I did think that that joke was funny, just like the execution of the match wasn't quite there for me.
Yeah. What do you think, Josh? You look very thoughtful.
Yeah, I kind of went on a tear there. Sorry.
No, it's definitely okay. I mean, if I were to come up with a gimmick on the spot, I'd dress like top half Dragon Ball Z and the bottom half like a grass skirt. Kind of like Keith Lee wore. yeah, my biggest pop of the match was after the match was over and Barry threw the scooter into the ditch or whatever. And yep. The commentator said somebody owes the McCabin family about $40, which I thought was pretty good. This match, whatever, it was fine. I didn't love it. I gave it 2.5 bald heads. Wasn't overly entertained, but it was fine.
We get not Paul Roma Jr. We have children's television personality RJ City giving you some tips on your backyard.
Right.
Botanical tips.
Botanical tips on trimming and, you know, just cleaning your backyard before you bump, I think is what he said.
Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah. And then we have, we get back to the Battle Royale draws. We have the Prince of Oshawa, 2 Clips, Kyle.
Oh my god. This is so funny.
Kyle McKenzie.
2 Clips, Kyle, 2 Clips, McKenzie. This was a fucking hilarious character.
Prince of Oshawa.
So fucking niche.
It's so spot on. Because like, they're talking about how trash Oshawa was. Like the worst part of the GTA. And this guy, the Prince of Oshawa, has like a DeRozan jersey on with like a Raptors cap. It looks like the biggest like SoundCloud douchebag in the entire world. Like the worst dealer you've ever met.
And our last vignette of this episode is, this was my favorite, this was maybe my highlight of the entire fucking,
this was
all of it, was the
chef's kiss.
Like, Woodbridge clockwork oranging of Mark Wheeler into Marco Longo by Jimmy Fortino.
Where they
make him Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pin his eyes open. And they make him watch the FIFA World Cup from 2006. And so it's like him in like a dark room with like, again, imagine Clockwork Orange going on. And then there's like flashes of light with him watching it on an iPhone, like the FIFA 2006 World Cup. And then like Brio's popping up on the screen.
Yes!
No, the best pop-up of this whole fucking thing was just a Highway 7 street sign.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Like, I want someone who doesn't live in Toronto to watch this and get back to me and just like, I want to pick someone's brain about...
What did you think was happening?
Yeah, like, what do you think Highway 7 is? Like, but this is amazing. This speaks, like, this is, like, knowing your audience so well.
And there's so many good Italian references in here. It's like, that's my name, just like my Nona named me. And it was just
Marco Longo, every day of my life, I've been Marco Longo.
And they, like, teach him the difference between different pastas.
Yeah.
Oh, this was so good. And this is the best
vignette.
We should
say Longo's is another chain.
Yes.
Is that just a Canadian chain? Like, we should explain that.
Both, like, Ontario Italian-owned grocery store chains.
Yeah.
And so they name their tag team the Supermarket Mafia.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is my favorite. Gold. This is my favorite. This is so good. This is like Ontario gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is straight up, the Supermarket Mafia bits were funnier than Letterkenny. Like, that's from a, if you want to talk like a niche Canadian shit, this got me more than Letterkenny.
No. All right. So we come to the big multi-person match. What is it called?
The Poolside Rumble.
Poolside Rumble. And they advertise some people, but there's actually way more people in it. How many people are in this match? Like 45.
Something like that.
It's okay. I don't need to.
I think there's just like 9 people.
Ugh, it seemed like so many.
There's a lot of people.
All right, but we start off. Is Jay Huntington the first one out?
He is.
He's out there. He's drinking at poolside. Oh.
So here's the thing is that he sold.
Yeah.
He sold his gold watch for a worse spot.
Yeah.
I didn't get this. I didn't understand because he like we talked about, like, he gave a Rolex to
Gringo XL.
Yeah, Gringo XL. And yeah. And like, so this guy, like the rich guy, was number one, and then Gringo XL was number two in this rumble.
So that means Jay Huntington the Sixth traded a 24 karat watch to just come out at the same time.
So
I wish commentary had hit that harder because that is so funny.
It's such a good detail.
The other like backstory thing to this that they said a little bit on commentary, but like they had one of the vignettes they did this on like Instagram was that Jay Huntington's father bought Backyard Pro so that Jay Huntington could challenge for the title.
Oh, that's so good.
And he also said that he was going to make his father sue Jay Wheeler because Jay sounds too much like the initial J.
That's sick.
So yeah, so Jay Huntington the Sixth and Gringo XL sit down for a poolside drink instead of fighting.
Yeah, they have a little shot ski.
A little shot of tequila, which Jay Huntington the Sixth says that the he's like the tequila. He's like, that's peasant liquor. I'm drinking the good stuff, but he's drinking Bacardi, which is not the good stuff.
But we should also mention you get eliminated in this battle royal by getting thrown into the pool.
Yeah,
and then the last two, you have to win by pinfall. Let's set the matchup properly here.
He keeps saying, like, I will pay you to throw yourself in the pool to, like, everybody who comes in.
Or
right?
To throw this person in the pool. He just wants to pay people to eliminate others.
He pays everybody he has this unlimited supply of 24 karat gold Rolexes in his back pocket. Oh, man, this is so good.
Our third entrant is play-by-play commentator Johnny Applebottom.
Yep.
Who was replaced by Backyard Uno, a.k.a. Evil Uno of the Dark Order.
I wasn't sure if that was, like, really him.
Yeah.
Okay.
A.k.a. my Steam buddy. What up? Shout out Player Uno.
Oh, yeah.
How's he doing on Fall Guys right
now? I don't know. Let's see if he's on Fall Guys right now. Doesn't look like he is, but keep playing. Invite me one time, buddy.
Yeah. Next up, we have Kyle Two Clips McKenzie, the Prince of Oshawa. I think, is this where Gringo XL is asking if he has Coke?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And then Gringo XL eliminates himself for cocaine.
Yeah. I didn't.
This is so fucking good. This whole match was so funny.
Then Stan Sizzle comes out and gets eliminated almost immediately.
And we should say Stan Sizzle is so the second face of Gringo XL.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering if that was the case.
And he's so tough that he might be from Brampton.
Yeah, and he's so tough.
Brampton and Oshawa going at it as they are wont to do.
Yeah, so good.
This is so funny.
And then we have Detective Cookie Dough, who pokes her head out and just immediately screams, "Drugs!"
Yeah. Yeah, and so she, like, arrests Kyle McKenzie because he has some cocaine in his pocket.
Yeah.
And so she handcuffs him and then tosses him in the pool.
Which is dangerous,
which
man.
Which is super dangerous.
That's also when Gringo XL, not Gringo XL, gets eliminated. When Stan Sizzle gets eliminated, he comes so close to cracking his head off.
Oh, yeah, that backdrop was scary. So he took a backdrop from, I think, Johnny Applebottom into the pool. Mm. And, he comes, like, super close to, like, smacking his head off the side of the pool, but he loses his hat. Thank God. Yeah, knock on wood, he's fine.
The hat looks like, makes it, like, for a split
it
second.
It makes it look so much worse.
You think that he hit his head, and it's terrifying.
Juice Monkey comes out and starts hitting everybody with the Great Khali's moves.
Yeah, he starts doing the big chop to everybody. Which is the only thing Great Khali could do, which I thought was hilarious because he's a juice monkey now.
Like, it's already, the fucking juice monkey joke is already funny. Having him come out and be shit at wrestling is just like the cherry on top.
Yeah.
So good.
So Jay Huntington the Sixth tries to buy him off by giving him one of those Rolexes, and yeah. Juice Monkey tries to eat it.
The Cyclops cyclist makes a return, mm-hmm. and he's riding on a bike and hits somebody with a chair. It was fucking so sick.
He also has a hard time entering the fucking area because the gate keeps closing on him, and he's trying to get through with his bike.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Also, he does a bicycle kick. I just want to shout that out. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. And then we have the third face of Gringo XL. He pulls a Mick Foley, right? Where he just, he comes back again and again and again. And I think they were calling, so he comes out in a Mankind mask, and I think they were calling him Big Spade.
Spades, yeah.
Yeah, Spade. Spades.
And the announcer, Johnny Applebottom.
Eliminated.
This was the best. Johnny Applebottom picks up a mic and he says, Big Spades has been eliminated, and then kicks Big Spades into the pool.
Yeah.
That was really good.
We get Psychotic Michaels in the background on the other side of the fence. We get a little Tungsten Man match update. The score is now 106 to 110. Psychotic Michael has taken the lead.
I just want to mention that running around during this match, like about the midway point, a dog enters the scene.
Oh, yes.
There's this really cute white, like, bulldog walking around, and, like, he's all interested in the fighting that's happening around him, and he keeps, like, getting directly in the way of wrestlers, like, trying to walk and, like, do moves.
Yeah,
it was just a dog being a dog, like, no idea what's going on, like, just being happy and, like, walking around. Yeah. It was really cute.
We get down to our final two of Detective Cookie Dough and Jay Huntington the Sixth. And they,
Who blows coke into somebody's eyes, is it? So at one point, somebody blows coke.
That's coming up.
So that was when Cookie Dough arrested Two Clips, he threw the bag of coke away, and in the background, Jay Huntington went and grabbed the bag of coke and put it in his pocket.
Oh, okay, I missed that. Jay Huntington the Sixth is facing off against Detective Cookie Dough, and he's like being a like misogynist asshole to her, being like, I already paid you, like, just go eliminate yourself, I already paid you. And this is I have to bring it up now, such a beautiful moment where she slaps him in the face and he just goes, you bitch. Yeah. It was so good. And then he shouts equality and starts like actually hitting her, and they have like a little bit of a back and forth there. Mm-hmm.
And then they fall into the pool.
Well, because he blows some coke in her face.
Right, yeah.
And that's then throws her into the pool. And then they realize, oh, wait, that's not how you win, because we're the last two.
But they were hitting each other with, like, pool noodles. And it's like the commentator was like, oh, this is like Sandman and Sabu. Which I marked out for. I lost my mind. I thought that was a really good line.
It was hilarious. And then, Jay Huntington goes up top to this, like, rock alcove over the pool and goes for a splash, which he misses and belly flops. And then Cookie Dough, like, lifeguard rescues him to the side of the pool, but instead of giving him CPR, she just pins him for the win.
Yeah. And then she goes up to the rock thing to, like, celebrate, and she goes and picks up the belt that she just won a spot, like, a contendership for.
Yeah.
And then Jay Wheeler hits her with the belt and tosses her off into the pool again.
Yeah. How many bald heads did this rumble get?
Man, this is really good. I gave it 3.25. No, 3.75. Sorry. Oh,
three
my
three
God.
Quarters.
Can you imagine if I messed that up and gave that the same rating as the first match? No, this match was really good.
So that brings us to the end of episode 2. And now we got our finale of three title matches.
Mm-hmm.
True Night of Champions.
Our tag team, our Backyard Pro tag team title match between Jimmy Buffet, who comes out to Weird Al's Eat It.
Yep.
Cornelius Ruthador, who comes out to Hell to the Gnaw.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
And that tag team together is called Blood Pressure to be Damned. So they're just called BPBD.
I miss that. That's so fucking funny. Yeah. I also like it earlier when Jimmy Buffet referred to them as being like Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah. I miss that. That's really good.
And then we have the supermarket mafia pulling up outside of the match.
The girlfriend drives them.
Yeah, and she's like, "I give me a kiss, but don't fuck up my bronzer."
Yeah, and then they start walking away, and he's like muttering about her, and she's like, "Hey, give me back my bag."
Yeah,
and he has to like take the belts out of this bag and give her back the duffel bag.
Yeah,
and like their entrance song too. It's like, "Do you think you're better off alone?" Which is like a shitty techno song from the 90s.
Yeah.
Do you think you're better off alone?
Please feel free to use that as the intro music.
I don't. There's so many great uses of music in this. I don't know what I'm going to pick.
Just yeah,
like a 4 second clip of each of them.
I'm gonna play.
Hail to the. Do you think you're better?
No, I'm gonna do. Do you think you're better? I'm gonna do. My name is Jonas, and I'm gonna do Across the Nation. But they're all going to be playing at the same time.
Oh my god! Perfect. It's like noise porn. It's just so bad.
Yeah. Welcome to my harsh noise project. This holy fuck! Like, so the supermarket mafia takes like 20 minutes to get all of their chains and sunglasses off, and they have to kiss every one of them before giving it to the ref.
And they're like, "Take care of this. Yeah. Watch it."
It's like the old Razor Ramon thing where he used to like take off his chains and he used to kiss it and hand it. It's like, if anything happens to this, something happens to you. So they did that like with their jackets, with their belt, with their necklaces, and like it was sunglasses. One thing after another. It was so good.
Yeah. And then they like kiss each other and hug each other before the match.
Yeah. This was just incredible.
This is so good.
And then my first note for this is just, oh!
Well,
they get fucking like clotheslined by Jimmy Buffet right off the bat, like both of them do.
I thought what it was they both run and attack Jimmy Buffet, but he's like impervious to their attacks and they both fall on the floor.
And they just start screaming like just Italian noises on the ground.
The part that really got me was at this point commentary says that they're not quite the supermarket mafia. They're more like food basics.
Yeah.
Drink up, bitches.
There was a lot of good ones. So let's get these out of the way right now.
There was a chop where he says that chop was so good if you wooed, that woo would have 14 O's. 14 O's. It's a supermarket. Drink up, bitches.
Nah. And there's one part in the match where he, like, he hits somebody, leaves him on the ground, and he says, "So be it."
So busy.
Oh my god.
The other one was, he's like, "These guys are really fighting with no frills right now."
Yeah.
I did not get most of those. Oh, that's really
there
funny.
Were so many good supermarket quips in this match. Anyway,
it was incredible. Yeah. So they have Cornelius Ruthador and Jimmy Buffet. We have to say that their tag rope was just a branch of a tree that was in the yard.
Yeah, and the supermarket mafia's like tag rope was like a log that they put their foot up on, like Captain Morgan style.
All of the supermarket mafia's moves are weird Italian food names that don't make any sense.
Oh my god, the lasagna sandwich. The lasagna sandwich actually had me doubled over. I was like, "You want to hit him with the lasagna sandwich? Let's hit him with the lasagna sandwich." Which was like both of them running at the guy at the same time, which they obviously missed.
No, the fucking spot of the match for me was the meatball drop, where they were going for the Latino elbow drop that like Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero used to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's, And he misses and falls. Like, I think it's Jimmy Fortino misses and falls and breaks his own back on Marco Longo's knee. And then Cornelius Ruthador sees that, and he gets Jimmy Buffet to crack his back, and then hulks up.
Yeah, that, like, helps him perform better.
It helps him perform better, but then he has to take a break because his blood pressure is getting too high.
Well, what he does is he takes both of his slippers off and starts beating them with it. Then he checks his blood pressure. Also, another little dog aside. During this match, especially during the blood pressure bit, there's a dog in the yard next door that is losing its fucking mind and barking at them, and it's clearly a little dog just, like, yapping for so long, and at one point when he's getting his blood pressure taken, he says, "Shut up!" to the dog, and it's really funny.
Yeah, the commentary team was out of their mind on this one. It was so good. It's like two swole Italian men beating the shit out of this old man.
Yeah.
And it's like he just slapped the Great Depression out of him.
There were
so many good lines in this match, and like everybody was so on point with like their shtick and like, you know, what they had going on. And then like near the end of the match, an ice cream truck starts going by. I don't know
and
if
I
you got.
I wanted to note that it is the Canadian ice cream truck theme. America has a different theme, and it's not as good as ours.
So Jimmy and Buffet and the referee runs out, and they go get ice cream.
Yeah, they just leave.
Yeah, they go get ice cream, and they leave the old man there with the supermarket mafia.
And they kick the shit out of him.
He looks like he's going to climb up to the top of the shed, but then just gets up on a stepladder.
Yeah, and he tries to jump at them, and he can't jump that far, so he falls on the floor, and then that's when they kick the shit out of him.
There was also a really good, like, attempted hot tag spot where he, like, tries to jump to make the tag, and then the camera pans out, and he's, like,
he's 10 feet away. Yeah, that's so good. So anyway, he gets pinned. Like, the supermarket mafia end up pinning Cornelius, and the ref, like, notices that they're going in for a pin, hands his ice cream to Jimmy Buffet and says,
Don't eat this.
Runs and does, like, a slip and slide fucking into a three count.
He only gets halfway up the slip and slide, too, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
How many bald heads did this get?
I gave it 3.75. This is really fun.
Yeah.
I was close to 4 on this one.
I was going to say, okay, so for reference, you gave the Boner Yard match 4. And I thought this was 100 times better than the Boner Yard match.
I don't know. Like, again, Boner Yard match was pretty great. And again, I know you guys didn't love it. I had a lot of fun in this match. But, there was the odd slow spot in this match. I don't know.
I disagree, but you're entitled to your rating system.
I like that the supermarket mafia celebrate by saying, oh, and then they try and do the slip and slide. Yeah.
Yeah, and they do like a whole bunch of like somersaults and like falls on the slip and slide.
It was great. This far and away, Jimmy Fortino is like my fucking MVP of Backyard Pro.
He's great.
It's such a good gimmick.
Next match is the culmination of our Fortnite match between Psychotic Michael and The Rock.
As it stands, the score is 241 for The Rock and 238 for Psychotic Michael.
Yeah, so there's 6 minutes left. Yeah,
it's anybody's game.
Yeah. So they keep on, doing their thing. They're fighting. Psychotic Michael's great. A giant, like, a fucking huge inflatable llama interferes at one point, which I thought was hilarious, because someone just, like, fucking throws it on them.
I also,
Psycho Mike, like, freaks out. He's like, "What is this? Like, get this shit out of the ring, ref! Yeah. Like, what are you even doing? What kind of game is this?"
Psycho Mike starts burying The Rock again with a shovel, and the ref starts yelling, "We already did this bit."
Yeah. Everybody calls him out on it. It's like, "We already did this spot." Then he picks up, like, a chainsaw, rake, shovel, does the digging spot. There's like, there's so much. Like, there's The Rock getting Psychotic Michael in another submission hold, and he has to grab a tree branch as a rope break, which I thought was pretty good. I don't know who wants to cover the spider. Yeah, there you go.
No, like, there's not a lot to say. Like, there's a spider on a shed, and it clearly spooks Psycho Mike, and he's just like, there's a spider! And then, like, the camera pans in, and, like, all of the commentary is like, there's a big fucking spider right there. And they have, like, they take a moment for the spider.
I like that Psychotic Michael pulls out a fucking axe.
Oh, my God.
And he's about to swing it at The Rock, and he goes, no, wait, it's not dangerous enough. And then he Triple H style covers the top of it, and hits The Rock.
This is so good. And then, like, right after that, too, he, like, has a mark on his hand from it. And it's like, you think this shit is fake? And he's got like the smallest, like, it's like a small abrasion on his hand.
The type you get when you walk past an object and accidentally smack it with your hand.
So they fight out into like almost like a pseudo like ravine, like somewhere outside of the backyard.
Well, they go into someone else's backyard is what they do.
They does the jackknife powerbomb on The Rock. Through the plywood.
Oh my God.
It was a razor's edge.
Good.
It was a razor's edge. He put his arms out.
Yeah.
And he the commentator says, I am the plywood, because it doesn't break the first time.
Must be Japanese plywood.
Yeah. So good.
So Psycho Mike ties it up with 1 minute to go. And he gets up on this platform, and he decides the platform's not tall enough, so he puts a ladder on top of it and gets up. And then a random old man comes out and starts yelling at him to get off his lawn.
And he says, Dad, let me... You told me I could do this, Dad. And he's like, I'm not your dad. Get off my property.
It ends in a tie. After 2 weeks.
And then he's chanting at the ref. He's like... Five more minutes.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not doing this. This is complete shit. I've wasted 2 weeks of my life being a referee in this match.
Yeah. He's like, overtime? Sudden death?
I was on the couch watching this by myself, fucking dying laughing at the fact that it ended in a tie.
Yeah.
Was so funny.
So I gave this whole thing 4 bald heads. I thought this was, for me, the string going through all 3 nights, I don't know, this was the most enjoyable thing to me on the entire 3-night card, for me personally. And Psychotic Michael, give that man a contract somewhere, sign this man anywhere, give him money. You want
all the good things for Psycho Mike.
Yeah. I could even see him doing great on Wrestle House and Impact.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. There's a very brief Supermarket Mafia bit where they're reveling in their victory. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Moving along.
We're at our main event. We have Detective Cookie Dough and Deputy Muffin Top looking through a spooky house to find Jay Wheeler.
Yeah, they're like at an abandoned house, but then it's not an abandoned
house. Was this like a Firefly funhouse?
I think it was, like, that or just a straight-up horror movie bit.
Yeah.
It was, at first I was irritated, but because Cookie Dough is not the best actress, but then it all became perfect because it's just so over-the-top and amazing.
They also did such a good job with this where it's like, the reason that Cookie Dough has it out for Jay Wheeler so bad is because he broke into a wrestling school. And Deputy Muffintop says, isn't that the building where he murdered those children? and she says, yeah, but that doesn't matter. We're here because he broke into a wrestling school.
So they, like, go walking through this house, and at one point, like, the deputy gets, like, strung up, like, and Jay Wheeler's, like, popping out of the mist and the darkness.
Yeah, and he's, like, in the mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah,
please don't. For all our ska heads out there.
Yeah, and it's good. And it basically ends with him running away because she has to, like, help her deputy down off of the fucking ceiling.
Yeah. But then they just have a match in a backyard.
Yeah, but it's better than that,
Campbell. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Jay Wheeler comes out to a live performance of My Name is Jonas by Psycho Mike and the Boys. Yeah,
which is so good. That was really cute. And yeah. I love that song, too, and they killed it, by the way.
Cookie Dough's got riot gear. She has the nunchucks that she found in Jay Wheeler's bag, and a riot shield and a helmet.
Yeah.
This is a fun match, right? A lot of uses of mace.
So much mace. The best part is the first time they use it, when Wheeler accidentally sprays himself in the face and falls to the ground, and Cookie Dough comes over to him and walks through the mist and then also falls to the ground.
Yeah. We have the sprinkler where Jay Wheeler, like, runs through the sprinkler that clears his eyes of the mace.
Yes.
And he references the Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
Where he says, "I can see, I can fight."
Oh, I didn't realize that was.
I didn't get that either.
I thought it was a SpongeBob reference, but I Googled it and it turns out it's Fairly Odd Parents. So there you go. For all you Zillennials out there, you know.
Okay, but there's an actual, like, amazing part. Like, Jay Wheeler whips out some amazing moves at one point where like, does a fucking flip off of a brick wall. And then he does a Superman punch where he jumps up onto the wall and then super punches Detective Cookie Dough. And it was sick. The and Superman all of a sudden, was I was like, oh my god, it got real.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
And, like, she sold it like a champ. He threw it like a champ. That looked so good. Roman Reigns, who's, like, at home watching this, I'm sure. He's one of the less than 1,000 people that have watched this so far. And I'm sure he's like, "Yaw, yes, sir."
He was like, this was the inspiration for me to wreck everyone and leave.
Yeah. This match,
no, this is a good match.
It was a good match.
The other spot that I really liked in this is when someone goes for a pin and they pan over and the ref's peeing in the bushes. Oh,
he was on his phone, like, he couldn't give a fuck about the match. And it's like, there was this big spot through the, they had, like, found a door that they had set up on the ladder, and then he gave her a pile driver on it, and then he pinned him, and then, like, the ref was peeing. There was another point in the match where, like, the ref was texting on his phone during a pin, and the commentators kept on, like, shitting on him all match.
Well, they go over to, like, the pool from the poolside rumble, and I think Cookie Dough, like, spears Jay Wheeler into the pool, and the ref is filming it instead of doing a count.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
And then we get to fucking Friday the 13th for no reason.
Well,
this is so amazing.
It's filmed so well.
Yeah, so first of all, okay, yeah, so they do the whole pool bit. Cookie Dough thinks that she's won because she, like, speared him into the pool. But then he emerges, like, slow style out of the pool, and he's wearing the Jason, like, hockey mask.
And this is like, beat for beat when she comes out and she says, "It's over. I did it. It's over." Like, that's from fucking Friday the 13th. And then Jason fucking rockets up out of the water. Like, shot for shot Friday the 13th, like, redux.
The next thing was so funny to me because they have a shot of her crawling and, like, screaming through the grass. It's like a far shot.
Yeah.
And she's crawling and running. And then Jason, like, Jay Wheeler, is zombie walking slowly after her, and he makes it across the screen, and then the ref, slowly walking, texting on his phone, comes in third. And it's so funny. And
the commentary here was like, and Kip, a guy coming back from the dead, it seems unaffected completely by this. He's texting on his phone, which I thought was a really cute line.
My favorite bit in the zombie Jay Wheeler portion of this match is when Cookie Dough, like, classic horror style, makes it to the shed and turns on the light, and then fucking Jay pops up behind her.
Yeah.
And then the ref pops up behind him.
It's so good.
I want to know how many times they did that to get Because that shot was fucking perfect.
Yeah, they're perfectly hidden behind each other.
It was so good.
So good.
So she fucks up Zombie Jay and puts him in a wheelbarrow and wheels him back out to the main portion of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Knocks off his mask and reveals that he was faking being undead the whole time.
And maces him again.
Maces him again. Which, and Cookie Dough hits him with a pretty fucking wicked looking pile driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does some sick moves this match.
And Cookie Dough becomes the new backyard pro champion.
Yeah. And she starts running around and dancing.
How many bald heads?
I gave it 3 1/3. I have to say, mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy this as much as some other matches, but it had some really good spots in here, some really enjoyable stuff. But I was really impressed by Wheeler in this match. I don't know about you two.
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Cookie was also very good. Not to take any away.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing with Cookie Dough is I don't think she's like the most charismatic, but she is an extremely good wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really, really good in all of the like matches.
She
yeah.
seems like maybe she's still so, a little like, green, but she's like very like, good, like she's very good at what she does, so I think she's gonna get there. But Wheeler was like, that's like potential star guy there.
I think he I was trying to look up like kind of just find Instagram profiles of all of these people and sort of try and see like who wrestles where and what's going on. And so like it looks like Wheeler's main stint is he wrestles in Alpha One, which is All Ego Ethan Page, who is like the other half of the North in Impact. Like he runs that promotion. I think out of Oshawa. And then Cookie Dough, I can't remember what her like actual wrestling name is, but she has like the women's belt in like every Southern Ontario women's division right now. Like she's the crossbody women's champ. She's like, I think like the Alpha One women's champ. Like, she seems to have she's definitely a person who is like, and it shows in this, right, that she's definitely carving out a niche for herself in the like Ontario independent scene, for sure. And like pretty much everybody on this card is like involved in like Superkicked or Smash or Alpha One or Crossbody, or like even some of them are in Impact. Like all of these people are wrestlers that is like well worth going and checking out, like the stuff that they're doing outside of this sort of like fun little COVID project that they're doing.
This is the kind of stuff I like seeing though. Like, honestly, you can tell everybody was having fun. There was like a lot of good cameos in there. And like, again, a lot of people that are well established that I wouldn't expect doing something like this, but I think that makes it even better, right? Like, because those people can like do a promotion like this and have fun and kind of like, I don't know, like cut loose a little bit. I thought that was, it was really cool to see.
The best, the speaking of like people who are at a stage in their career that you wouldn't expect them to be doing something like this, one of my favorite parts of like the first PAPE that they did, or the like season one that was not a recurring bit here, was Tyson Dukes playing the role of Old Man Dukes.
Right. Oh my god, that's awesome.
At the end of a bunch of matches, he would just be there with a wheelbarrow being like, "You crazy kids, get off of my lawn!" And they would be like, "Oh shit, it's Old Man Dukes, run!"
Yeah.
I gotta go back and watch season one now. That sounds awesome.
Season one is very fun. It's a lot more of the same. I mean, this was delightful. This was really, I think we can all say that we really, really liked this.
Absolutely.
Cannot wait for whatever they have in the future.
Yeah.
We'll
be reviewing future episodes of that and talking Chop-a-mania.
We like to close things off here with a little high spot and a botched spot. Little honorable mentions to something that we just really, really liked and something that we maybe didn't like so much. I wanna kick out, like, high spot far and away was the Highway 7 road sign in the Clockwork Orange Woodbridgeification of Marco Longo. Like that attention to detail, that you know, appealing specifically to me, a good Southern Ontario boy. I really liked that. My low spot is that some of these houses were really nice, and I'm never going to be able to afford a backyard in this fucking city.
No.
Not with that attitude, buddy.
My low spot of this pay-per-view was the Toronto housing market.
My high spot was the, like, zombie walk in the main event. I loved all that Jason shit. It was very funny. And my botch spot is going to be, I guess, like the Scooter and Billy Wire match was kind of my least favorite match. It wasn't bad or like horrible. It was just like my least favorite part. But I really loved this entire pay-per-view. So yeah. Like I had to pick something. So
again, I think if you throw the Cyclops cyclist Adam Safe into that match, make it a triple threat. I think that punches that up, makes it, you know, kind of fleshes that out a little bit.
Yeah, Lauren stole my low spot of the night. I think my high spot was Psycho Mike and how fucking good he is. That match with The Rock was so fucking funny and so fucking entertaining. The fact that he can put over a rock, Kenny Omega, eat your fucking heart out, wrestling with a fucking blow-up doll. Psycho Mike did it better with a rock. I stand true to that. Taking a regal stretch, the figure four leg lock, rope breaks, his trash talk during the match. Everything was so on point about that. And the fact there was a thread between three different nights of action. Oh, chef's kiss to the whole thing. It was so good.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to come to Kenny Omega or Yoshiko the blow-up doll's defense against Josh's
come at me.
Take there.
Come at you, you nerds.
You can hit us up at facebook.com/stonecoldshots. We're Stone Cold Shots Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, you should leave us a rating and review on your podcasting app of choice. You want to give us a great review?
5 bald heads all day, every day.
Hell yeah.
Bye.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks, baby.
Bye.